In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we are preparing for the future. We prepare for the future as we close the fall quarter of classes and prepare to close the church year this Sunday with the Feast of the Fulfillment of Our Lord. It was on a recent seminary trip that I went to a little parish on the East Coast in one of those nameless, sprawling suburbs. While visiting with the pastor about the seminary, I noticed a slight-built man, quite elderly, enter the church and proceed directly into the sanctuary. The pastor seemed to notice with just a slight glance to his side, and then he returned to our conversation. A little later, the man reappeared and quickly left the church without a word to the pastor or myself. Now, after the man left, the pastor told me about this individual and his daily visit to his church. It might seem peculiar to have a man enter an empty sanctuary of which the heat is not running and only a dim light of a sanctuary lamp gives him a direction to have this man enter this space every day. It seems that this man in his elderly age feels that he has very little left to do except to pray and wait for the time he is called home. You see, his wife had died several years before, and his only child also preceded him in death. Now, in retirement, he was alone and really not interested in the offerings of the local senior center. So instead, every day at the same time, he enters the sanctuary of the church and prays. This humble, quiet man prays for the church, his pastor, and finally that the Lord would take him home. You see, our pilgrimage here at this seminary is really no different than this man's journey as we sit and we reflect today. Faithfully, we wait for our own death. We wait knowing that our Lord has brought us to this place. Daily we enter this wonderful house and we pray. Yes, we are a small band of men and women wanting to be faithful to our Lord and what we feel he has called us to do. In this place we pray for each other. We pray for the church. We pray for our pastors and that the Lord will take us home. We, like this man, have experienced death. Our community has experienced the death of a brother, a daughter, and a pastor during the past few months. You see, the fall of creation into sin has adversely affected us all. Because of one man's sin, we all have been born in sin, and now death permeates us. Ultimately, this sin will conquer our mortal bodies. No matter how hard the physicians try at the local hospital, and no matter how many medications we take to numb our bodies, we will ultimately die. In our text today, the text from Revelation, we read about the church in Smyrna, and we get a glimpse into the persecution of the Christians. We hear about their poverty, their tribulation, and their suffering. We read about the martyring of Christians as they live in the gospel. And in fact, the church of Smyrna was the home of Polycarp, a church father who was martyred. Yet in this text, we see the promise of salvation given to the people. They are told that in their second death, they would receive a crown of life. And what is so beautiful is that we have been given this same hope and assurance in our own lives. We have died to sin, and in our second death, we will have eternal life. Yes, the pilgrimage of this community, our pilgrimage here, is very much mirrored in the appointed gradual for the season, this season of the church year. It reads, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on a pilgrimage. For in this place, Here today, we are in the eighth day. The eighth day has arrived. The 7 days of creation have been corrupted by sin. But because of Christ's resurrection on the eighth day, we are now resting in a new creation. We have been redeemed through the blood of the cross of Jesus Christ, the cross where Jesus took our sins on himself and rose so that we may have eternal life. We fell with Adam, and now recreation has taken place, and we are back in the garden with Christ, cared for by our Heavenly Father. The font has brought us back into the garden, and it continues to refresh our souls with living water. The voice of God, who spoke to Moses and the prophets, now speaks to us through Jesus Christ. The body and blood given to us continues to nourish our bodies and souls. We no longer are forced to eat the dust of the earth, for we now eat the food of immortality. Christ, who was faithful unto death, has given us a crown of life, as he himself received a crown of life. And we are joined at the great wedding feast with those saints who have gone before us. Yes, as the hymn so wonderfully states, we join with the choir immortal. You see, the man who entered the church in upstate New York was not alone at all. We who sit in this place today are no small band of individuals, but part of something much greater. We have received the faith of the church. We are a part of something greater than ourselves. We no longer have to look to ourselves, but we can look to the cross, to the altar, to the font, and the very words of Jesus Christ. Yes, we have been recreated through Christ, and now we join with the hosts of heaven at the marriage feast. Christ the groom waits to meet his bride, the church. Again, I would like to reflect on the last stanza of the wonderful hymn we sang today. Now let all the heavens adore you. Let saints and angels sing before you with harp and cymbals' clearest tone. Of one pearl each shining portal, we're joining with the choir immortal. We gather round your radiant throne. No eye has seen that light, no ear the echo might of your glory. Yet there shall we in your victory sing shouts of praise eternally. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ keep you in his word unto life everlasting. Amen.